Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
And we welcome Andrew to the program once again. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Ben.
What are we talking about today?
Well, Ben, we'll start our show as we've been the last few weeks with updates regarding the government shutdown. And while the government is back
right.
open again,
mm-hmm.
now we're dealing with the aftermath of 35 days
right.
of furloughed workers and a tax season that started just a couple days ago
mm-hmm.
on January 28th.
Now, the IRS all had somebody working all the time. I mean, they didn't have everybody. A lot of people did not show up under their union rules. They
exactly.
could do that, but so they were going. So how much of a backlog has that created?
The biggest backlog that they're seeing is the mail.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically
yeah.
enough, they estimate there's about 5 million pieces of unanswered mail.
Mm-hmm.
They said on a typical day they get around 200,000 pieces of mail. They were getting about 700,000 pieces of mail during the shutdown per day, and the reason for it was because of the service centers, the IRS service centers were also shut down.
Yeah.
And the phone lines were shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So any requests that needed to be made or any attention that needed to be given had to be done so by sending in letters to the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the biggest problem, Ben, because now, you know, surely the mail will start to taper off a little bit and it'll probably get back down to the more like $200,000 letters a day. But, you know, still you're going to deal with 5 million pieces of mail that you've got to do in addition to all the new mail that's coming in. Plus,
mm-hmm.
we got a new tax law,
yeah,
the Tax Cut
right.
and Jobs Act, which is going to create more taxpayer calls and more
mm-hmm.
taxpayer letters
mm-hmm.
In order to get through the filing season with the new tax law. So, you know, they were saying, it came out and said that it probably about a year behind with
mm-hmm.
regards to correspondence now. I don't know if it's going to be quite that long with regards
mm-hmm.
to getting the backlog,
right.
but it's going to take them quite some time. And so we mentioned, you know, at our last show, patience,
right?
You know, because there's going to be some delays,
and they've extended some deadlines, right?
So far, I haven't seen anything regarding mm-hmm. any tax filing deadlines.
Okay, oh no,
but
not
of course,
that, but
yeah.
Other, yeah,
but of course, other deadlines potentially. Audit deadlines and things
mm-hmm.
of that nature, because the examination audit was shut down, the collection appeals were shut down, the tax court cases were shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just been one of those situations where there's going to be a lot of rescheduling that needs
mm-hmm.
to occur, and there's only so many hours in the day
right.
that you can get these old things rescheduled and then also have the new things get put on the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
So just beware of that and know that while it's getting up and running, especially with tax season,
mm-hmm.
the call volumes and the communication with the IRS just goes through the roof.
Right.
So it's going to be difficult to get the service on the phone here in the next couple months.
And to complicate that, you know, when we had the hurricane, you know, we did have some things that changed or were altered for people here.
That's
so
right.
How much is that going to get caught up in this as well?
Yeah,
so.
That's an interesting thing. And I'm glad you brought that up, Ben, because today is the filing deadline day
mm-hmm.
for anyone who had an extension of time to file their tax return.
Mm-hmm.
And then because of Hurricane Florence,
mm-hmm.
they granted extensions all the way up through January 31st of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're the big time procrastinator,
mm-hmm.
You do have up through today with no failure to file penalty. Remember,
you're probably hoping they didn't get back to work.
That's right. So just beware. There is a tax deadline today,
yeah.
ironically enough. And it does deal with those individuals that extended their 2017 tax returns.
Okay. All right.
So, interestingly enough, we had our first tax court opinion of the year issued, 2019-1, and it's Totten v. Commissioner. And, you know, Ben, this is really just kind of what I'll call a lesson in do-it-yourself tax law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get these cases every once in a while, and it's ironic this is the one to start the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mr. Totten decided that he was going to not only do his 2009 and 2010 returns on his own,
mm-hmm.
but then when he got audited, he was going to handle the audit, and then when ultimately a deficiency was issued, he was going to handle the tax court case as well. And, you know, you can bet how that kind of went for him.
Right.
You know, it's kind of interesting because when he got to the tax court, There were 11 issues on the table. How many of those do you think he won, Ben?
I bet he won none of them.
Zero. He was 0 for 11. I was like, God, come on, man. You're 0 for 11? Like, you got to at least win one or two. I mean, he had one that was just prepare for $89, which would have been his tax prep software, and then some legal fees. I mean, but no substantiation for that. You got to be kidding me, you know. So it's just, it's kind of unbelievable. But I did want to highlight a couple.
Boy, he didn't go. That was probably in his email. The receipt was probably there.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, really.
It's just kind of a little unbelievable. You know, reading this case reminded me a little bit of Judge Judy. I hate to say, because when you're watching Judge Judy and you see the individual there and he's got a stack of papers that's probably about, you know, 6 inches high, and she says, "I want this particular document,"
and they're
just floundering, you know, they're just floundering there and can't come up with the right paperwork, you know. And I think it's really a lesson in, you know, when you get to this level, Ben. Now keep in mind, you've been through an audit process.
Mm-hmm.
You've been through, when you file your tax court case, you go see an appeals officer,
mm-hmm.
and then you try to stipulate to various things with the opposing side and say, okay,
right.
we'll give you that one, you know,
right.
you know. So, I mean, think about all the levels you've been to, and then you actually get to tax court. And I guess maybe he thought he was going to wow them with his great elocution about explaining why he did certain things on his return with nary a document in sight. Mm. I don't know. But it's a big lesson. And any number that you put on that return, you know, you need to be prepared to put your hand on a document to show the service mm-hmm. that number is in fact correct.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you get to a point where you know you don't have that document, then I, you know,
you say so.
You don't push the issue.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, you kind of cut bait on certain things.
Yes.
And what I say is you need to get focused. When you start off with a tax examination, you're broad and you want to mm-hmm. try to do as much good as you can do from a broad level. But as you go through the various levels, you know, you got to start just saying, okay, the reality is I don't have that documentation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, then let's figure out if we can get a portion
mm-hmm.
of that conceded by the service, because maybe your documents aren't 100% great, but you're like 80% great.
Mm-hmm.
So let's at least get you 80% of the, you know,
right.
of the mileage deduction, or 80% of the charitable contribution, or whatever it might be, by proving that amount.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like, you know, he went full freight and just tried to give scatterbrained, you know, shotgun approach, I guess, best way to put it, where you just kind of spray a bunch of stuff out there and see if anything sticks.
Right.
And it just did not work out well for him at all. One of the first things that I wanted to bring up to the listeners is this. He rolled over an IRA, supposedly. It was $43,000 that he took out from his IRA, and then he reported as being rolled over.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did the proper thing on his return. He reported the full amount,
mm-hmm.
and then he wrote the taxable amount was zero and wrote rollover next to it, which is correct.
Right.
The problem is,
where'd it go?
He didn't actually roll it over.
Oh.
You know, and he didn't have any documentation. He claims he did. Now, typically, Ben, in this particular regard, when you roll over the IRA, you're going to get a form 5498 from the company where you actually did roll the money over, because when you're filling out the forms, you're going to say, this is in fact a rollover. It's within mm-hmm. my 60-day time period to roll over mm-hmm. my IRA.
Yep. I've done one, so yeah, I know about that.
Exactly. So you've met your 60-day requirement. You get your form and everything would go hunky dory fine.
Right.
He didn't get his form, and maybe there's a problem with the agency, so they didn't issue the form.
Mm-hmm.
So what would he need to do? He would just need to bring his IRA statement and say, look, I took out $45,000.
And here
it
is.
And here's the IRA where I put it back in there. And,
yeah.
and then here's the date I took it out, and here's the date that I put it back in. It's within 60 days. Voila.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have no idea if that actually did in fact happen. You know, part of me believes, because I think about every number on this guy's tax return was incorrect, that he probably just made up a rollover.
Uh-huh.
But you know, that's how that works. The other thing is that he wanted the 10% penalty waived, Ben.
Uh-huh.
So he was under 55. He took this contribution out and goes, okay, well, if you're not going to give me the rollover, then at least don't charge me the penalty, because I've got one of the exceptions to the rule.
Mm-hmm.
And his exception, Ben, was medical expenses, ironically enough.
Mm-hmm.
Two problems with that.
He didn't have them.
Number one is he didn't have documentation showing that he actually had the medical expenses. And number two is that he reported that he drove 33,000 miles for 2009 and 2010 on business.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and so just some of the stuff just doesn't add up. You know, it's like, well, okay, well, you're driving that much for business. You know, what did you have? What was medically wrong with you?
Right.
That, you know, required you to take money out of your IRA and pay the
uh-huh.
expenses.
Right.
So, you know, that's one other lesson, I think, which is if some of your stuff just doesn't jive, like common sense wise,
cut your losses early.
You're going
to have
a problem.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have a serious problem. The other thing that's interesting is that they hit him on unreimbursed business expenses. So he drove miles,
mm-hmm.
and then he took the miles off his tax return at the tax rate. So,
right.
you know, 50 cents a mile, 55 cents a mile, whatever it was in 2009, 2010.
But he was reimbursed for those?
He wasn't, but he says you have to bring a copy of your employer's policy showing that they're not going to reimburse you for
uh-huh.
this, or it's their particular policy.
That I didn't know.
Guess what?
Yeah.
He didn't bring it.
Yeah.
And then his mileage logs, while he reported 33,000 miles a year,
mm-hmm.
only showed 28,000 miles for one year and 11,000 miles for another year. And they didn't offer all of the things it needs to have, the date, the time, who you saw, the business purpose behind mm-hmm. the visit, all those things that need to be substantiated on your business miles to be able to get them accepted by the service. So guess how many miles he got?
Zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
Because even though he had these mileage logs, they weren't sufficient enough to back up what his deductions said.
I'm going to bet with some certainty that he is not alone in submitting a tax return that is similar to that. With estimations, they may have been in good faith, they may have been great, you know, people, but they don't have the documentation. When you get called on that, if you get called out on that, are you better off just submitting a revised return and go ahead and submit it with what you actually do have?
Yeah, so what you do is, Ben, you substantiate what you can substantiate during the process. And
right.
Like I said, we do the best we can to get everything approved. You can recreate documents.
Yes.
So do it.
Yes.
Don't just come in with, you know,
nothing. Yeah.
You can recreate documents and put your best foot forward and get some of these deductions.
Find out more by calling on the folks at Harvell & Collins. Go to harvellandcollins.com, or you can email Andrew at afoster@harvellandcollins.com.